me to the 15th chapter of John. Okay, let me tell you what I'm going to tell you. Here's what I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you what it means to abide in Christ today. I'm going to tell you that when we abide in Christ, God's Word tells us that there are multiple benefits that are received. Among those benefits that we received is that we find a purpose in abiding in Christ, and that purpose is actually a purpose greater than ourselves. It's a purpose that affects people other than ourselves, in fact. And in fact, not only do we find purpose, the scripture says in John 15, but we find meaning. And when we glorify God, then we find meaning in life. So let's look at John 15, beginning in verse 1. We read now, and let me give you the context. The context of this passage is that Jesus, he's left the upper room on the last night that he was alive, and last night with his disciples in the upper room, they've celebrated Passover, what we now celebrate as the Lord's Supper. But they had celebrated Passover. Now they have left that room, and the last verse of the 14th chapter tells us that, and Jesus is on his way to the Garden of Gethsemane. Well, in the land of Palestine, today even, but also certainly in the first century, the land was filled with lots of people who had vineyards. And so if you can imagine that Jesus is going from the upper room to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he will spend his last moments with the Father and with the disciples, what happens is he goes by, this is just conjecture, but he perhaps walks past a vineyard. And he sees the vineyard, he sees the vines, he sees the branches, and he sees the fruit on the branches. And Jesus uses the picture of the grapevine, the branches and the fruit. He uses that picture as an allegory, and he teaches his disciples how that relates to you and I and our relationship to him. So as he opens with the first verse of the 15th chapter, he is in between those two locations, the upper room and the Garden of Gethsemane, and he teaches a spiritual truth, I think, that if we can grasp this spiritual truth, it is a life-changing blessing and a life-changing truth for us. So beginning in verse 1, we read of chapter 15. He says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser," or that is, my Father is the farmer of the vineyard. Verse 2, "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes it away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away as a branch, and he dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you may bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full." Verse 16, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you." Okay, let's first make sure we're on the same page, and let's give a definition to abiding. What does it mean to abide in Christ? The word that we translate abide comes from a Greek word that is transliterated meno, M-E-N-O. And it means, and it's been translated in this way, 25 times in the New Testament is translated as to stay. 20 times it's translated to remain. 5 times it's translated to continue, and 42 times it's translated to abide. The sense of all of these translations is that something takes place that begins at a point, but it continues. So if we say that we abide in Christ, what we're really saying is that we seek Christ. We try to know Christ on a continuous basis. It's not something really that we do so much as a 30-day challenge, unless that 30-day challenge moves to cause us to continue to abide. It is in the sense that that first, to abide means that I'm connected with Jesus Christ. If I'm going to remain in Christ and stay in Christ, there has to be sort of a connection. In fact, what Hebrews 11:6 says, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. So when it comes to abiding in Christ, what it first would mean that there's a sense of connection. That is, that I believe that God is, that Christ is real, that he died for my sins, that he was buried and he rose on the third day, and that I have forgiveness for my sins through Jesus Christ. And so my faith, believing in Christ, is what's going to cause me to seek him out. So I'm connected by my faith, and not only am I connected by my faith, but I seek Christ by faith as well. We read James 4:8. We studied it just a few weeks ago, and it says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. If you do not believe that seeking God on a daily basis, if you don't believe that God is going to draw you to himself, then in all likelihood, you're not even going to begin the process. You're going to conclude that, well, there's something wrong with me. I've never been able to sort of find God in the scriptures. And so, you know, that may be all right for Pastor Kip, or that may be all right for this person or that person. But so far as I'm concerned, you know, it's not right for me. Well, you know, what we have to do with those kinds of messages is that they keep us from trying to find God. You know, ask any athlete what is the most, what's one of the most significant things as to whether or not they're going to perform well, and that's what they're thinking up here. You know, this afternoon we're going to watch the Ravens play another team. We're going to watch the Ravens play another team. Well, you know what? If you watch what goes on, particularly with a quarterback, watch our quarterback's face. Watch his face. And if you know, if he's got this, you know, sullen look on his face, that's not a good thing. Because he's sort of believing that he can't do it. And when a quarterback believes he can't do it, he really normally can't. And I am speaking from personal experience. So it is through our faith that we reach to God. We abide in Christ. And so what God would have us do, if we're at a place of unfaith or doubt as to whether or not we can find God by spending time with him, God would want us to repent of that. To see that is unbelief, it is sinful. Not so that you'll feel guilty about yourself or I'll feel guilty about myself, so that I can repent. I can turn against that belief. I can turn against that belief. I can go the opposite direction, and I can stand against that lie. And Satan is a father of lies. I stand against that lie, and I move towards Christ. I seek him out by my faith. And when I begin to seek Christ out, abiding in Christ also means that I'm gonna start praying. Notice in the 7th verse, the 15th chapter, he says, if you abide in me, my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it shall be given to you. So when we abide in Christ, the scripture has a sense that I'm gonna be in God's word, I'm gonna be meditating on God's word, and be studying God's word, and what I'm gonna do is, as God begins to become a part of who I am, prayer is a natural outgrowth of abiding in Christ. It's almost as if God says, if you have trouble praying to God, in the sense that you don't think God's going to hear your prayers, it's sort of like a spiritual thermometer of your personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Because when we are connected with Jesus Christ, when we're connected through our faith in Christ, it is as if we are feeding on Christ and he is nourishing us, and communication is a natural outgrowth of that. And abiding in Christ also, in this 15th chapter, he talks about it in the context of obedience. He says in verse 9, he says, just as the Father has loved me, I've also loved you. Abide in my love. Well, how do we abide in his love? He tells us. He says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So when it comes to abiding in Christ, it's like first before we even look at the promises God gives us, when we do, we have to understand what he means. You know, don't think that don't think that God's not out there. He doesn't want to hear from you, because he does. In fact, all through these last three Sundays, we've talked about seeking God, knowing God, drawing near to God. Why would God tell us that over and over and over again if he didn't want it to take place? At the same time, I can only abide in the love of God when I am walking in his will. Last week, we looked at Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 and 29. Can we put the picture of the ox up there? Okay, last week I showed you this picture. And what I wanted you to see was the yoke. This is what a yoke that was used in the first century would have looked like. It would have been a pair. Would have had two animals. It would have been for two animals. And Christ says, take my yoke upon you. What it means is that we're pairing up with Christ. But he's the lead in the sense that we're following his will. So abiding in Christ really has that same meaning. It's as I abide in Christ, God lets me understand his teachings when I am ready to walk in those teachings. So that's what abiding in Christ means. Any questions so far? Everybody understand what abiding in Christ means? Okay, for example, 30 days with Jesus. Every day you did that, you were abiding in Christ. But it's not limited to that. In fact, this morning, if you're in here this morning trying to seek Christ and know Christ and obey Christ, you know what? You're abiding in Christ right now. Abiding in Christ is not limited to individual time with Jesus Christ. It goes beyond that. It's staying. It's almost as if what God wants us to have is an awareness. In fact, there's a passage. Anybody in here ever read the book, The Practice of the Presence of God by Brother Lawrence? I recommend it highly. Well, you know what Brother Lawrence did? Brother Lawrence worked in a monastery in like the 18th century, something like that. And Brother Lawrence was the janitorial help. And you know what Brother Lawrence did? Brother Lawrence tried to practice the presence of God in his life. What that meant was that he always had an awareness of who Jesus Christ was and how Jesus Christ was in his heart, and so that everything he did it for the glory of God. Okay? It wasn't like Brother Lawrence went to church on Sunday and he did that to the glory of God. When Brother Lawrence washed the pan, he washed a plate, he did it to the best that he could, because he was doing it for the glory of God. Every single thing he did it for God. In fact, Colossians 3:24 says, in everything you do your work heartily, as to the Lord, and not for men. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. So whether or not you're here on a Sunday morning, or whether you're going to work tomorrow, going to school tomorrow, or whatever you're going to do tomorrow, you know, whatever you're going to do tomorrow, you can abide in Christ when you have an awareness of Christ in your mind, sort of in the back of your mind, and so that you're looking and your eyes are open to Christ and how he might intersect with your life and how you might be a follower of his and feed someone the food of Jesus Christ. Okay, next point. God has determined multiple benefits when we abide in him. He has determined multiple benefits. The first benefit is one we've already covered. It's found in Matthew 6:33. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek... Hold on a second. Oh, I got to go back. Dave, show me the picture of the fruit, the first fruit. Now, here's a metaphor, okay? To help us understand abiding, here's a metaphor. This is a grapevine. Okay, what the scripture says, Jesus says he's the vine. That's this right here. That represents Jesus Christ. It says you and I, believers in Jesus Christ, if you place your faith in Jesus Christ, what the scripture says, you are like the branch. Now I want you to notice what the fruit is growing out of. What is it growing out of? It's growing out of the branch. It's not growing out of the vine. The branch has to be connected to the vine, and that's what we're talking about a minute ago. The branch is connected to the vine, and the branch receives its nourishment from the vine, and because it is abiding in the vine, what happens is fruit is born. fruit is actually any advance of the kingdom of heaven. Any advance in our lives and the lives of others is, you could say, that would be fruit that is being born in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, it's easy for us to understand that. It's easy for us to understand this in terms of letting each piece of fruit, each grape, it's easier for us to understand if we think of each individual grape as a person that you've had an impact on their lives for the name of Jesus Christ. Okay? And so if you looked up here and you said, okay, if each one of these clusters of grapes, if this were to represent me, if I'm that branch right there, how many grapes would I have? How many clusters of grapes would I have? That's the sense of what it means to abide in Christ, and the sense of what it means to be connected with Christ, and what it means for Christ to bear fruit through us. Now, when we do abide in Christ, when we do abide in Christ, God has determined multiple benefits for each of us. And the first one is, you're going to be blessed. I don't mean to say by that that you're going to have more money in your bank account. That may or may not be the case, okay? For most of it, it's not going to be the case, because you know what we end up doing? We start trusting the money instead of God. Why would God bless me with finances if in the process it draws me away from God? Okay? But so he says, Matthew 6:33, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto us. So abiding in Christ, why should I, we say, well, if we were to try to answer the question, why should I abide in Christ? The first thing would be, you know what? God says that when I do, everything in my life is going to go better. I've experienced that myself. There are people in here who've experienced the same thing. In my own life, I've experienced the opposite of that. I've experienced times when I don't abide in Christ, and just like everything just seems to fall apart. Well, God says that when we put him first, and when we seek him first, and his kingdom first, the advancing of his kingdom, every single thing is going to go better in my life. Everything. And even when I'm going through the valley of the shadows, now please don't hear me saying that I'm talking the prosperity gospel, because I'm not. One thing I have discovered is it seems to me the closer I get to Jesus Christ, the more aware Satan is of my name. But the more I am aware that he is out to get me. And so I can stand against him in the power of the blood of Jesus far better, because I know God, because I know the sound of his voice, and I know how to respond to God's voice, and I know what Satan sounds like. I know his voice. But I'm not talking about prosperity gospel here. Okay, secondly, God, this is good. It's good now. You got it. I want you to make sure you get this. You know what? This is amazing to me. God so wants you and I to abide in Christ, in him, that he gives us, he has declared a purpose will occur in our lives when we do that, that even extends beyond our life. Okay? I said to you a minute ago that when we abide, his promise is that everything in our life will go better. All these things shall be added unto you. But what he also says in John 15 is this. Is it purpose? There is a purpose in your abiding in Christ. It is his purpose. Notice first what he says in the 16th verse. He says, you did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. You did not choose me, but I chose you that you should go and bear fruit. Well, how is it that I'm going to bear fruit? The purpose of abiding in Christ, the ultimate purpose of abiding in Christ, is not you. The ultimate purpose of abiding in Christ is God's purpose, and that is that his kingdom will be advanced when his people abide in him. Did you get that? You know what that means? That means when God's people are not abiding in him, his kingdom will not advance. That means Now, if you're wondering why I'm using this these days, because I can't read my Bible. I can't read the text. It's too small. Okay. I had you stand a minute ago and 90% of you stood. You know what John 15 tells me from that? Provided you keep doing it, God will bear fruit through the ministries of this church. More fruit than he would have borne if you had not started doing that and continued it. You say, wait a minute, Pastor Kip, where do you get that? Well, let's see here. Jesus says in the 5th verse, I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. The bearing of fruit is not because I'm a good preacher or you're a good evangelist. The bearing of fruit is because we abide in Christ. What that means is it matters to the kingdom of heaven. It matters to the kingdom of God on earth. It matters to the kingdom of God in the United States of America whether or not God's people abide in Christ. Because it is only as we abide in Christ that we are connected to Jesus. And when we're connected to Jesus, we experience the fruit of Jesus. We experience the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And when the Holy Spirit of God moves in a human life, the world is changed. The only way that God's Holy Spirit moves in your life is when you abide in Christ. That's what he's saying. Why would Jesus say over, why would God throughout his word put emphasis and priority on his people seeking him and knowing him? Because it makes a difference. It makes a difference in our personal lives and in the life of the kingdom of God. Listen to the second verse. Jesus says, I am the true vine. I'm the true vine. Okay, I'm the true vine, as opposed to a vine that is false. See, what happens to us is sometimes we just get attached to the wrong vine. Sometimes we get attached to, we're a branch, all right, but it's not a branch of the kingdom of heaven. It's not a branch that's connected to Jesus Christ. Maybe a branch is connected to your work. Maybe a branch is connected to your own personal dreams. Maybe a branch is connected to your school, but it's not connected to Christ. He says, I'm the true vine. Retirement's not the true vine. Good health's not the true vine. Connected to Jesus Christ is the true vine. And the way I connect to Jesus Christ is I abide in him. I'm the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. God's the one that does the fertilizing. God's the one that makes sure I grow, but he will not force growth upon me. God will not force you and I to abide in him. He will not force you to do that. If you tell God, I don't believe you're going to speak to me, and so I'm not going to pick up the Bible, I'm not going to pray, because I don't believe you're going to speak to me in the first place. You know what God will do to that? He'll let you decide. He gives us over to our choices. Every branch in me that does, listen to this. Now, it says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes it away. Whoa. He takes it away? What does that mean? You mean tell me, Pastor Kip, if I'm not abiding in Christ, God's going to separate me from the vine? Here's what we don't want to do. What we don't want to conclude that he just said that you lose your salvation. But what we do want to understand is this. If you choose not to abide in Christ, here's what God will do. God will place you in a position where you don't create a casualty on those who want to grow the kingdom of heaven. Do you follow what I'm saying here? He says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes it away. He moves it aside. It's like, you know, you ever been in a room and you know, you wanted to get to a certain place and there's so many people you can't get there because everybody's just crowding the way? You know, I bet you one thing, that ball game this afternoon, there's going to be a crowd to get in and out of that stadium. It's like Jesus is saying, you know what, if you don't abide, he says, you know what, you're not of use to the kingdom of heaven. You know, I read Oswald Chambers one day, and he said, the greatest temptation for the Christian is not to steal or to cheat. The greatest temptation for the believer in Jesus Christ is to be of no use to God. That's what God's saying. If you don't abide in me, then you don't want to be used by me. And if you don't want to be used by me, then I'll let you not be used by me. That's what he's saying. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. So abiding in Christ is how more fruit is born. That's what he's saying. That's how more fruit is born, by abiding in Christ. Somebody left this morning from the 9 o'clock service, and they said, "You're talking about that verse where it says that he prunes it. It says that when I'm bearing fruit, what he'll do, he'll prune it." Well, you know, I don't know about you, but when I think of the word pruning, that doesn't seem to be a good word to me. I don't think I would like to be pruned. Well, this gentleman told me. He said, Pastor, he said, what that verse might be saying too is, because see, the word in the Greek could also mean lifted up. Okay, I tell you what, let's do. Show the picture where you have the rope, the vines on the rope. I'm not sure where it is, Dave. You see right there? Okay, there's one interpretation of that verse where it says that one who's bearing fruit, he's going to prune. There's one interpretation that says he's going to lift it up. Because you see, vines, grapevines can't grow on the ground. They can't bear fruit on the ground. So what we do is we lift them up so that they can bear more fruit. See, the point in this passage is if you are bearing fruit because you're abiding in Christ, what he's going to do is everything that needs to be done so you can bear more fruit. Well, this gentleman said, he said, branches on a vine, said the old branches, they can't bear any more fruit. The fruit is only born on new branches. Did you know that? So grapes can only grow on a new branch. And so you prune it. You prune the branch. You cut it back so that it will now become a new branch and more fruit would be born. So what am I saying? I'm saying purpose number one is this. A purpose is something that benefits someone other than myself. You're deciding whether or not you spend time with Jesus Christ this next week. What it will do is, if you do, God will use what you have done to be with him to grow his kingdom. To bear fruit. He will bear fruit through your efforts because that is his promise. That promise even extends to this church. Why would a pastor say, 30 days with Jesus, whole church? You know what I know in my heart and by the scripture? I know that if we can get our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ, growing in Jesus Christ, we will have an impact on the kingdom of heaven. Whether that is in the poor, helping the poor, whether that's in reaching people for Jesus Christ, whether that's helping the sick. Everything we do through this church is dependent upon how you and I seek Jesus Christ, how we abide in Christ. It's almost as if God wants to give you purpose as a motivator to spend time with him. And what difference does that make? Well, you remember last week I told you something about that I was able to decrease my running time a minute or something. I told this group that, didn't I? I was able to decrease my running time by a whole minute. Well, you know what I've learned this week? Oh, man, I'm not signed up for any race right now. You know what I've learned? If you're not signed up for a race, you want to stop when you get to the top of that hill. It's like yesterday I ran, perfect day to run. It's a little 5 mile run. I've run that same run so many times. I got to the top of three hills, and you know what I did? I stopped dead in my tracks and started walking. What kind of deal is that? I just didn't seem to have any go. I just stopped. You're running along and get to the top of the hill. Next thing you know, you stop. You don't even know why you stopped. Well, what is my point? When I have a race I've signed up for and I'm training for, I got a reason to push through the flesh. You know what God's saying? I think he says, you know what? Here's a purpose. I'm going to give you a purpose. My kingdom will be advanced when you spend time with me. So tomorrow morning, when you think about whether or not you go spend time with Christ, you know what he's saying? Hey, think about it this way. I'm going to advance my kingdom because you are. Something else I want you to be sure and understand, and that's this. Throughout the passage, what the passage talks about is this. You and I are not the ones who bear the fruit. You with me? Do we need a two-second stand-up? I can tell we're close. Let's take a two-second stand-up. We're close. Okay, well, everybody stand up. Let's stand up. I know it. Just go, whew, man, time nice to take a break. Whew. Okay, that's great. Stretch a little bit. Okay, now I just got one more point. That's all I got to make. You can sit back down. And we'll be done. We're going to be even out of here early today. You wait and see. Wait and see. Yeah, we are. You watch. Okay, now here's what I'm saying. You know what? The text is careful to say that it is not you or I that is the one that's bearing the fruit. It says that God is the one that bears the fruit, not you or me. And why does that matter? Let me explain something to you. It's very important for believers in Jesus Christ who are members of a church to never do something because a staff person has asked you to do it. Because it's not my work. What we're doing here in this place, it's not my work. We honored Cherry for 20 good years. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. She went through 3 Jesuses during that period of time. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. But you know what? It's not her work. Don't ever say, I can't speak for her, but don't say yes to an Easter pageant because Sherry asked you. No, this is God's work. It's not my work. It's not her work. It's God's work. God is the one that bears fruit. You know what this passage is saying? It says, you know what? He says, we've seen people down this aisle. We've seen them at an Easter, just lined up down that aisle. Why is that? This passage says, the reason is because somebody's been abiding in Christ, and I'm growing my kingdom. In fact, if you look, there's a passage in 1 Corinthians 3. Listen to how it says it. This passage says, what then is Apollos and what is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. So then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything but God who causes the growth. That's exactly what the 5th verse says of chapter 15 of John. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I am, he bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do absolutely nothing. Apart from me is because he's the one that is doing it. This past week I met with a trustee who will remain unnamed, but he blessed me in a powerful way. He said that one day he came up to the church parking lot and got out of his car and he noticed some paper on the front yard. So being a good trustee, what does he do? He goes out to the front yard. He picks up that paper. He puts it in his pocket. And then he thinks this thought. He thinks this. He says, how better can life be? I'm picking up trash as God's trash collector. This is God's work. And I am blessed enough even to be picking up trash for God's kingdom. You see, you and I, most of us have this mindset that what you do when it comes to opportunities in a church, you do those things that you have time for. The issue of priority of time really is not even on your page. We know that, for example, when it comes to tithing, we know that the scripture says that we're supposed to give the first fruits of what comes into our lives. Well, what is it that makes us think that Matthew 6:33, which says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, what makes us think that that applies only to your money? Why does that not apply to my work? Why does that not apply to the things I invest my life in? You see, that to me is what he's saying when he says, I am the true vine. When you discover the true vine, then I don't know what illustration I ought to use, but whether or not you decide to be in the drama will have nothing to do with whether or not you have time for it. Now, certainly I know there are times in our lives, like, you know, during tax season, when I was in the CPA business, I've told you this before. I've got to talk fast. I told you this before that from January to April, I worked every Sunday. If somebody asked me if you know where I'd been, I'd say, you know what, God called me to be a CPA. And if since he called me to be a CPA, I'm going to work on Sunday. If God didn't want me to work on Sunday, he shouldn't have called me to be a CPA. Oh, boy, that was not a good idea. Then I discovered that when I gave God my Sundays, not because I had time for him, but because I was making him a priority. Do you know what I've discovered? I discovered that I made less errors on tax returns. I discovered that I was more efficient. I discovered that I could do more with my week when I gave God his than I could if I kept it all to myself. It's the same thing here. God is saying, when you abide in Christ, when you put me first in your life, whether it's how you begin your day or how you spend your week, it is my work and it is my kingdom, and I grow my kingdom through your abiding in me. And then the last thing is this. You know what he also does? He gives us purpose in abiding in Christ, but he also says this. He gives us meaning. God will give you, if you let him, he will help you to understand how much it means to him that you spend time with him tomorrow morning. Let me show you. Okay, what do you think that is? Tell me, somebody close. What is that? It's a shepherd. It's a shepherd carving. It's carved out of wood. It's really a very nice carving. But you know what? If you went into my office and you looked up on my shelf and you saw this shepherd carving, you might think, well, you know, that's nice. But it wouldn't have any meaning to you. Because it's just a nice carving. But to me, this shepherd's carving was given to me by the first person I led to Jesus Christ 40 years ago. And so when I look at this, I think of Laura Kennerly. And my mind goes back to the day that she received Jesus Christ as her Savior and my CPA firm. Now, what is my point? Jesus says that you and I are to abide in him. Why should we do that? Because it has meaning to him. He gave his life so that you could know him. And what does he ask you to do? He says, this means something to me. In fact, he goes so far as to say that his Father, in the 8th verse, it says his Father is glorified when we bear fruit. If he is glorified when we bear fruit, that means we've been abiding in Christ. And why have we been abiding in Christ? Because Christ matters to us. He gives purpose and he gives meaning. Okay, now listen. You know how these words have meaning to you? The only way they have meaning to you is if you receive them. If you change your mind about spending time with Christ, about making him a priority, unless you do that, you see, it's just empty words. You know how you can do that? In a moment, I'm going to pray, and we're going to sing. You'll have an opportunity right then to abide in Christ. You know why I say that? Because he says, if you love me, you'll obey me. And if God's spoken to you, you know what obedience is? It's to kneel right down here in the front of this church. And you say, God, you know what? I'm going to make abiding in Christ a priority in my life. Because I realize that abiding in Christ impacts your kingdom. Impacts people who know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Impacts my church. Impacts my family. So today, I'm going to tell you that I heard you. That's what I'm going to do. You say, well, you know, Pastor, I've never done that before. Well, is that supposed to mean something to me? That you've never done it before? That's irrelevant. That will keep you in bondage.
When God speaks, answer and obey. Let's pray.
Father, I come before you in Jesus' name. I pray the blessings of your Holy Spirit upon this body of Christ. We'll give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Our musicians will make their way forward, and as they are coming to lead us in music, I invite you to come forward and respond to God. Let's stand as we sing.